حي على الصلاة. حي على الصلاة. حي على الفلاح. حي على الفلاح. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله. محمد رسول الله.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. All praise is due to Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala. We thank him, we depend on him, and we seek his forgiveness. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from the evils of our hearts and from our bad deeds. Verily, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides someone, no one can misguide him. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala misguides someone, then no one can guide him. I bear witness that no one is worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his servant and his last messenger. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا، يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. In the last few khutbas, we addressed the companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We addressed the Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, we addressed the Umar ibn al-Khattab, and today, inshallah, our khutbah about Uthman ibn Affan. Uthman is remembered as a pious, gentle, and kind man, known for his modesty and shyness, and admired for his generosity. He ruled with imperial justice and mild and humane policies, based on his obedience to God and to his love for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muslim nation. Uthman, may God be pleased with him, was born 7 years after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May the mercy and blessing of God be upon him, and belonged to the Umayyad branch of the Quraysh tribe. The Umayyads were the most influential clan of the Quraysh. They were the strongest and the wealthiest, and Uthman was their golden child, the most beloved due to his good manners and shyness. Like his predecessor Umar ibn al-Khattab, Uthman was able to read and write. This was an unusual skill in pre-Islamic Arabia, and Uthman became a successful trader and cloth merchant throughout his life. He was known as a kind, generous man, and even before his conversion to Islam, he would freely give money to help those in need. It was his close friend Abu Bakr who introduced Uthman to Islam. and he embraced the new religion at the age of 34. This was during the very early days of Islam, when the men of Mecca were systematically abusing and torturing any convert to Islam. In spite of the abuse, Uthman would not give up his Islam, and in the time Uthman was married to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's daughter, Ruqayya, thus strengthening his relationship to the Prophet. The abuse and torture continued, and Uthman's wealthy family and status in society as a merchant did not protect him. He was abused and tortured even by members of his own family. His uncle shackled his hands and feet and shut him in a dark enclosed room. The continual bad treatment by his close family led Uthman and his wife to participate in the first migration to Abyssinia. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam praised his forbearing character and said, "After Lut, Uthman is the first man who, with his wife, has given up the comfort of his home for the sake of God." After some time, Uthman and Ruqayya returned to Mecca to be with the struggling Muslims and their beloved father and Prophet. Uthman formed a very close relationship with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he gained intricate knowledge about the religion of Islam. He narrated 146 traditions directly from the Prophet himself, and was one of very few people who were able to write down Quran. Uthman also became a reference point for those trying to learn the rituals of worship. He understood and was able to instruct others in the ritual of ablutions, prayers, and other Islamic obligations. Uthman also participated in the migration to Medina, and here he assisted Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in establishing the Muslim nation. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam even referred him as his assistant. In Medina, water was scarce, and control of the wealth was tightly held by several men. Because he was a skillful trader and negotiator, Uthman set about trying to procure a well for the use of the Muslims. He negotiated a price for half a well. He would have control one day and the other owner the next day. However, Uthman gave his water to the Muslims freely, so nobody wanted to pay for the water on the alternate days. The original owner of the well had no choices but to sell his half of the well to Uthman, who nevertheless paid a fair price for it. Uthman continued to allow the water to be used freely by all and never reminded the people of his charity. He was humble and modest. Uthman gave freely from his wealth to please God and his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Historical Islamic stories mention that every Friday Uthman would buy slaves for the purpose of setting them free, and that although he was wealthy, he was often without servants because of this habit. When Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muslims' armies were going to fight the Byzantine at Tabuk, he called on the wealthier people to give from their wealth to property to support and equip the soldiers. Uthman presented 200 saddled camels and 200 ounces of gold. He also gave 1,000 dinars. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam kept asking for donations, hoping to inspire others to give as freely as Uthman. However, it was Uthman who surpassed them all and gave a total of 900 equipped camels. The portrait we are able to build of Uthman is that of a generous, unassuming, and kind man. He was known for his humbleness, modesty, and piety. Uthman would often spend the nights in prayers, and he was known to fast often, sometimes on alternative days. In spite of his wealth, He lived simply and would often sleep wrapped in a blanket on the sand of the mosque. Osman was appointed as the third leader of the Muslims after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam by a council of six men. He continued the humane and just rule of Prophet Muhammad, Abu Bakr and Umar. He cared for the Muslims and expanded the Muslim Caliphate onto Morocco, Afghanistan and Azerbaijan. For 6 years his reign was one of peace and calmness, but the winds of change were blowing over the empire. Osman ibn Affan, like his predecessors, was a man of a people. He was modest, shy and humble, but still his later reign was made by infighting and rebellion. God had chosen Osman to be the third leader, but the people of dissension plotted to remove him from the noble position. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had prophesied that Osman would be placed in a very difficult situation when he said, "Perhaps God will clothe you with a shirt, Osman, and if the people want you to take it off, do not take it off for them." Osman did not remove his shirt. His love for God and his messenger kept him both strong and humble in the face of old age and extreme difficulties. Abu Musa narrated that he was in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in one of the gardens of Medina, and in the hand of the Prophet there was a stick, and he was striking slowly the water and the mud with it. A man came at the gate of the garden and asked permission to enter. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Open the gate for him and give him the glad tidings of entering paradise." I went, and behold, it was Abu Bakr. So I opened the gate for him and I informed him of the glad tidings of entering paradise. Then another man came and asked permission to enter. The Prophet said, "Open the gate for him and give him the glad tidings of entering paradise." Behold, it was Umar. So I opened the gate for him and gave him the glad tidings of entering paradise. Then another man came and asked permission to enter. The Prophet was sitting in a leaning posture. So he sat up and said, "Open the gate for him and give him the glad tidings of entering paradise with a calamity which will befall him or which will take place." I went, and behold, it was Osman. So I opened the gate for him and gave him the glad tidings of entering the paradise, and also informed him of what the Prophet had said about a calamity. Osman said, "Allah alone, whose help I seek against that calamity." Osman was a man of great modesty. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that even the angels are shy in the presence of Osman, from Sahih Muslim. Aisha radiallahu anha reports, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was lying down in his house with his thighs or his calves exposed. Abu Bakr asked permission to enter and was permitted while the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in that position. And he came in and spoke with him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then Umar asked permission to enter. He was granted permission and came in and spoke with him sallallahu alaihi wasallam while in that position. Then Osman asked permission, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat up and straightened his clothing. He was then permitted and came in and spoke with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After he had gone, Aisha radiallahu anha said, "Abu Bakr entered and you did not get up for him or worry about him. And Umar came in and you did not get up for him, nor worry about him. But when Osman came in, you straightened out your clothing. The Prophet said, should I not be shy of a man around whom the angels are shy? أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم أدعو الله عسى أن تكون هذه ساعة إجابة supplicate may Allah accept our supplication at this time. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد عثمان بن عفان was a man so loved by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May the mercy and blessings of God be upon him, that he was called the possessor of two lights. Uthman was married to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's daughter Ruqayya, and when she died, he married Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's other daughter Umm Kulthum, thus possessing the two lights. Uthman ibn Affan was appointed Khalifa, leader of the Muslim nation, through a process of consultation and careful deliberation. On his deathbed, Umar ibn al-Khattab appointed a council of six men to choose a new leader. It was a time of confusion and chaos for the Muslims. Small disagreements were becoming obstacles. Some people wanted to appoint Ali ibn Abu Talib because he was from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam family. Others wanted to appoint Osman because he was from one of the great tribes of Mecca. Ibn Kathir, the respected Islamic scholar of the 14th century, suggests that the leader of the council, Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, questioned both men and then chose Osman. Abdul Rahman asked Ali, do you swear to rule by the glorious book of God, the Quran, and the Sunnah traditions of his messenger? To which he replied, I hope to act according to my best knowledge and capacity. When Abdul Rahman asked Osman the same question, he replied simply, I do. It would be too simplistic to suggest that the decision was made solely by the answer to this question, but rather it was part of a process of reflection and deliberation. Both men were amongst several who were eminently qualified to lead the Muslim nation. Uthman was a man known to be pious, generous, and modest. Perhaps his simple answer reflected his personality, a shy man who spoke few words, but whose heart was filled with love for God and his messenger. Immediately after being elected, Uthman ibn Affan addressed the people from the minbar previously used by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He looked at the Muslims and praised God, sent blessing upon Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and reminded the people that this world was full of deception. He advised the people to shun living luxurious lives and to seek a place in the hereafter full of happiness and peace, and put forward to them the example of the life of this world. It is like water, rain, which we send down from the sky, and the vegetation of the earth mingles with it and becomes fresh and green, but later it becomes dry and broken pieces, which the wind scattered. And God is able to do everything. Wealth and children are the adornment of the life of this world, but the good righteous deeds five compulsory prayers, deeds of God's obedience, good and nice talk, remembrance of God with glorification, praise and thanks, and that last are better with your Lord for rewards and better in respect of hope. Osman was a pious man who loved and trusted God completely. Thus, his first action as leader was to assure the people that he would guide them according to the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Khalifa Abu Bakr and Umar ibn al-Khattab. Osman was turning 70 years old when he became leader for the Muslims, and for many years he had refrained from the pleasures of this life in order to seek the nearness to God. After setting a tone of piety and concern for Muslims that would be the hallmark of his reign, Osman turned his attention to giving direction to the governors and the Muslims' armies. To the governors, Osman expressed his desire for them to serve the people and never to exploit them. He sent prominent companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as his personal deputies to the provinces to scrutinize the conduct of officials and the condition of the people. Osman reminded the armies to follow the clear guided lines set down by Umar ibn al-Khattab and asked them never to forget that they were defending the believers. Extensive conquests were made during the reign of Osman, including parts of Spain, Morocco, and Afghanistan. Osman was also the first Khalifa to organize a navy. He reorganized the administrative divisions of the Muslim Khalifa, expanded and initiated many public projects. Perhaps Osman's most astounding contribution to the Muslims was his compilation of the Quran. After the death of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and during the time of the Khalifs, hundreds of thousands of non-Arabs converted to Islam. Consequently, the Quran began to be recited and written in various different dialects and scripts. One of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam companion and Osman's friend, Hudayfa, whilst on a journey noticed that there were many different recitations of the Quran throughout the Muslim Empire. Hudayfa suggested to Osman that there be an official version written in the style used in Medina. Osman knew the Quran by heart and had intimate knowledge of the context and circumstances related to each verse. The Quran had been gathered during the time of Abu Bakr and was in the safe keeping of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's wife Hafsa. Osman took possession of the originals and ordered some of the most trusted companions to make careful copies. He then ordered all other unofficial copies to be burned or otherwise destroyed. Five official copies were sent to the greatest cities of the Muslim Caliphate. Original copies exist to this day in Tashkent, Uzbekistan, and Tabukli and Balas, and in Istanbul in Turkey. The final 6 years of Osman's reign were marked by rebellion. Some of the governors that had been appointed during the reign of Osman were heavy-handed and saw some extensive unjust. In this way, the seeds of dissension spread and many of the people began to love the luxuries of life that Osman had warned against. Conspiracies arose and it was difficult for Osman to discern friend from foe. He was reluctant to shed the blood of any Muslim, however rebellious they may be. Osman preferred to persuade with kindness and generosity, for he always remembered the words of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam: once the sword is unsheathed among my followers, it will not be sheathed until the last day. Abu Umama ibn Sahl said, we were with Osman when he was besieged in the house. There was an entrance to the house. He who entered it heard the speech of those who were in the bilad. Osman then entered. He came out to us looking pale. He said, they are threatening to kill me now. We said, Allah will be sufficient for you against them, commander of the believer. He asked, why kill me? I heard the apostle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, it is not lawful to kill a man who is Muslim except for one of three reasons. Kufr, disbelief, after accepting Islam. Fornication and after marriage. And wrongfully killing someone for which he may be killed. I swear by Allah, I have not committed fornication before or after the coming of Islam, nor did I ever want another religion for me instead of my religion, since Allah gave guidance to me, nor have I killed anyone. So for what reason do you want to kill me? The rebels called for Osman to step down, and indeed many of the companions advised him to do so. Osman, now an old man of more than 8 years old, heard the words of his beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam ringing in his ears, and refused to stand down for his position. Perhaps God will clothe you with a shirt, Osman, and if the people want you to take it off, do not take it off for them. Osman remained true to his covenant, but after a long siege, the rebels broke into his house and murdered him, and the assassin's sword struck Osman, was reciting the following verse of the Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 137, translated as, so God will suffice for you against them, and he is all hearer and all knower. Such was the tragic end of one of the most pious, kind, and selfless men in Islam. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع ومن قلب لا يخشع ومن نفس لا تشبع ومن دعوة لا يستجاب لها اللهم انزع حب الدنيا من قلوبنا اللهم انصر دينك وكتابك وسنة نبيك وأوليائك الصالحين اللهم نعوذ بك من الربا والزنا والظلم والغش والكذب والبغي والعدوان عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروا الله العظيم الجليل يذكركم واشكروه على النعم يزدكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون وأقم الصلاة Thank you.